by Sydney Adventist Hospital, harnessing the latest scientific advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and care you deserve. That's whole person healthcare. And tonight we're talking about reflux. Pretty common, and for most people it's not totally life-changing, but it can be bad for your teeth or even your vocal cords. There are types of reflux that can have really detrimental effects. One of them is called laryngopharyngeal, or silent reflux disease. It can be tricky to diagnose. It's often missed because there are so many other reasons we sometimes get it. Associate Professor Gregory Falk is from Sydney Adventist Hospital and he's with us now. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, good afternoon, Bill.
So tell us about silent reflux.
Well, maybe we need to compare it with typical reflux. Silent reflux is where people aren't aware of the fluid coming up from the stomach through the chest, which in the average person seems to cause heartburn, and they're aware of vomit coming up to some extent. But the silent reflux really causes its symptoms in the throat and the head and neck and the sinus and maybe the lung. And one is not really aware that it's reflux at all.
Yeah, because that is very different to what people typically expect. It would self-diagnose as reflux, isn't it?
It surely is. And that's part of the problem, in that the usual sort of treatment for reflux doesn't really work for silent reflux.
Well, it's uncommon why is it uncommon for it to be diagnosed then? I suppose because people aren't really prone to going to the doctor about it.
Well, two things. One is that we don't have a test that tells you that reflux has got out of the esophagus and into other places. And the second one is that all the symptoms like throat clearing and mucus in the throat or sore throat or shortness of breath can all come from many other things. So that there's not a good way of diagnosing it.
So what does silent reflux do, for example, to a person's lungs?
Well, it depends. You know, I think people can get, well, we've shown with one of our new diagnostic tests that people can get little droplets of stomach fluid that come up the esophagus and go into the lungs and don't cause any symptoms at all. They're dealing with this relatively modest insult, if you like. But if it's more substantial, people can get an asthma-like set of symptoms, or they can get chronic cough, or they can cough at night and wake up. Sometimes they get sore throats and lots of mucus in the throat and a funny voice.
Well, and you can imagine that could easily be misdiagnosed if you're thinking yourself about what's wrong with me. There's a whole lot of other places you'd go before you thought about reflux when you got those symptoms, wouldn't there?
Absolutely. I think you probably need to go there first to make sure it's not something else too.
Well, yeah, if you can break it down for us, that the basic difference between your average reflux, which obviously have a whole bunch of causes, and you might be able to solve it by a bit of one of those, I'm trying to avoid using a specific brand here, but you know, one of those stomach calmers like your Gaviscons and those sorts of things. But, if you can walk through what the differences are, please.
Certainly. Well, average garden reflux, if you like, is burning related reflux or heartburn, and you get the sense of burning starting in the upper stomach and coming up behind the breastbone. May or may not be associated with fluid coming back up and the taste of digested food or vomit in the back of the throat after dinner or a party and at night in bed, that sort of thing. We're all probably used to it, and that might happen once in a year for a normal person, but it's more frequent for somebody with standard reflux. Tends to respond to medications like antacids and the other tablets that reduce acid. The other reflux, which is the one that's much harder to diagnose and causes all the unusual symptoms that could come from other things in the throat and the lungs, tends to be associated also with bloating in the stomach and maybe a bit of irritable bowel. And the cause of that is largely that the esophagus and the stomach is a little bit on strike and is moving food and fluid through it slowly. Whereas the typical old-fashioned reflux has been associated with a hiatus hernia, which is an abnormality of the valve. So the two diseases are quite different, but they end up with the same sort of mechanism occurring, and that is stomach content gets out of the stomach and into the esophagus and up into the neck.
I have heard of hiatus hernia. In fact, I think I've had it myself back in the day, and a number of other people I know too. So how common is that?
Oh, very common. Mm. Look, 60% of people over the age of 60 will have a little hiatus hernia, but they're not all causing symptoms. Actual people who get lots of symptoms from ordinary hiatus hernia and reflux are probably about less than 8% of the population, whereas people who get this silent reflux may be less than 15% of the population. So it's actually a pretty substantial problem.
So at what point should a GP refer you to an expert?
Well, I think if the GP goes through the story and they make sure that there's nothing else like a pneumonia or a cancer in the lung, or the patient's a smoker and might have something in the larynx, but all those things need to be excluded, then the last man standing, if you like, is probably atypical reflux. And in that sort of circumstance there, we have developed a new diagnostic test that can help the GP sort that out.
A lot of possibilities, though, isn't there? So a tricky one to diagnose.
Very complicated.
And what treatment options are there? Like, for example, is it just drugs or is it a change in lifestyle or both?
Well, it's drugs but not acid suppression. So the drugs that work for heartburn don't work for this atypical reflux, because the reflux that happens with the atypical reflux doesn't burn. You don't feel burning, and it's because there's not very much acid in it. So taking acid out of something that doesn't have much acid in it doesn't do much good. And so one is better off trying to do things medically to improve the emptying of the stomach and the esophagus, or to lessen the little droplets of fluid coming up, something which thickens the fluid, like one of the antacid drugs with some alginate in it, which is like pectin in your jam, thickens it up. So those sorts of things, sleeping position, not overeating, losing weight, all good for it.
And look, I think we're sufficiently past dinner time, I hope anyway, to sort of get into this a little bit. But there's some pretty nasty sort of stuff that is in your stomach, isn't it? It's doing a good job where it is, but it's meant to stay there. So can you give us an idea of what effect, not just the acid, but as you say, the all those fluids mixed together can have on other parts of the body?
Well, if we stick with the funny silent reflux for the moment, largely what's coming up is not very much acid, but there's a lot of digestive enzymes, maybe some bacteria, a lot of old food stuffs. And, you know, if you've had some chili or something, that comes up and that's pretty irritant to the lining. But it can cause infection, causes low-grade inflammation, which is hard for the ENT chap to see. It's not really visible to the naked eye, but when you put a piece of tissue under the microscope, you can see the inflammation. And it has a tendency to cause some fluid secretion in the lung and in the back of the throat, and people get mucus and maybe short of breath. So it causes more insidious damage rather than, you know, an ulcer or something nasty like the typical reflux might.
So the many dimensions of reflux, it certainly pays to get proper medical attention and make sure you're onto the right problem and the right people to deal with it. Dr. Gregory Falk, thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome, Bill.
And Dr. Gregory, of course, brought to us by the Sydney Adventist Hospital.